Hello and welcome to my art update podcast thingy. This is update number 98, year in review. This really should be episode 104, but we'll talk about that in a minute. This podcast is designed to keep people who know me, Andrew Woolner, up to date about what is going on for me artistically. Yeah, and this is the end of year review for 2024. So, yeah, if you're just joining for some reason, just popping in, this is your first episode. What a weird one to choose by accident or on purpose. If you want all the reviews of everything I've been doing for the last 20 years, I would check out episodes 1, 2, and 52. Those cover everything from about 2003. The second one covers 2022, I think. And third one covers 2023. And this episode is going to cover 2024. Now, this should have been episode 104 since I'm trying to do one of these a week, but I fell behind over the holidays and I will catch up, but I wanted to start the year with the end of year review for 2024. And I wanted to be the looking ahead episode. So you're going to get this episode, year in review, and the next episode will be what's up in 25, what's coming up in 2025. Okay. As the title suggests, as what I've just told you suggests, this particular update is to summarize everything that happened to me in 2024, mostly from an artistic point of view. And this will be one of the episodes, as I said, that people should listen to in order to catch up. So if that's what you're doing here, if you're here from the future, welcome. So let's get started. 2024 was a headache of a year. I am still struggling to regain my footing post-pandemic. This is a recurring theme if you've been listening to these things. 2 years after most governments deemed the pandemic over, I am still back-footed. But I mean, I think we know, any of those of us in the art community know that for the art community, the effect of COVID-19 was profound and lasting. I mean, just speaking for myself, freelancing things that I was doing for money in 2019 and 2020 just never came back. They geared up and they never came back. I've probably mentioned that in the last two annual roundups, but it bears mentioning again. So, yes. What else? So 2024, I mean, just as an example, in 2024, aside from my regular once a week teaching job at the university, I had a grand total of one. That's right. That's right. That's right. One major freelancing job, at least that paid more than a couple hundred bucks. So one major commercial job this year, just one. It was a real shock after 2023, starting to look like things were rolling again. That year I had, as you may remember, I don't want to regurgitate this if you've just listened to that update, but I had that big Netflix job, two big photo shoots, two private photo shoots, and just having everything rather than pick up in 2024, just drop off, in terms of paid jobs. It was bad because 2023 was also, I made just enough to put me over the line where I had to start paying health insurance and pension again. And of course, I actually just found this out a few weeks ago. And so all this is backdated to April. So I'm starting 2025 with a 300,000 yen debt that I owe to the government for 2024. That's the legacy. And that's relevant. How is it relevant? It's relevant in how it affects my art and the sustainability of my art. It's not super relevant, I guess, to my end of year review, because that is not really art related. So why didn't I talk to you about what happened this past year? So just to bring you up to date, the state of early 2024, if you've just popped off the last year in review, just to review here that another review of the review. That year, 2024 opened with me in Canada with my family. One of the intentions while I was there was to reconnect with theater people, possibly find work or leads on work or projects to work on. But a combination of family illness and really the nigh impossibility of getting people's schedules to align with mine. And mine was pretty wide open, but I was in and out of the city. And I was mostly out on the weekends to be at the family farm where I hadn't been for 5 years. So I wanted to spend some significant time there. But anyway, not being able to get people's schedules to align meant I didn't do as much reconnection as I hoped. And it was, I think, during this time or just before this time, I had the idea of asking people who know me to support me with a small, minuscule, almost weekly payment. So I took 3 months last year and, I'm moving out of the beginning of the year now. So I basically, by the time I left Canada, I had this idea solidified, and about, I don't know, around April, I did a couple soft launches. I did a soft launch, I think, in March. I did another soft before I left Toronto, and I did a soft launch in April when I got back to Japan. And, I did 3 months of consultation and rewriting with my friend Aaron. But I don't know. I think the messaging was wrong. On one hand, I didn't want to say anything negative, because talking about negative things doesn't make people necessarily want to support you, because I guess maybe it feels like you're throwing money into a black hole. But also, everyone is having a hard time post-pandemic, right? Especially people who are arts or arts adjacent or freelancing and stuff like that. As I mentioned before, the pandemic really hollowed out the arts field. I was kind of shocked by how few real independent theaters were left in Toronto while I was there. But anyway, my messaging, I didn't want to talk about the negative stuff about the need I had for support. But what I did come out with obviously struck the wrong chord with people. And I guess because everybody's sort of struggling, and maybe the vibe, and my friend Mike sort of came back with this. The vibe was a little bit like, hey, I know you're working a job, but I don't want to work. I want to do fun stuff, and you should give me money to do fun stuff. He didn't say it like that. He was much more circumspect, but that had been my fear all along. And having him say that made me feel like, okay, I haven't got the messaging right. And I plan to rewrite that. Yeah, but we'll talk about that in the looking ahead update. Moving, because we're now into spring. There was no YTG Spring Showcase in 2024 because I wasn't in Japan until the second week of March. But by the time I got back here, planning was already underway for Oblique, the summer show, which was the name and the theme of the summer show. But let's just move horizontally to Nerd Night updates, because Nerd Night was also on hiatus until I got back to Japan. Luckily, unlike the last time I came back to Japan from Canada, I wasn't terribly dehydrated and sick and immediately given fluids at the doctor's office and had to cancel the first Nerd Night back. No, that didn't happen this time. We continued Nerd Night from March. We took February off, because the event really doesn't, at that point, could not run without me, because it was running at JDS, which is the theater venue I work out of in Kawasaki. And it really, it's very idiosyncratic, and I'm the only one who knows how to use all the equipment. And yeah, so that wouldn't have been an option. It wasn't an option, so we didn't. We normally don't do a show in January. We stopped doing those a couple years ago because it's usually a small audience, and it's just so soon after the holidays that it's a hard show to do. So anyway, so March, April, May, June, we continued running Nerd Night at JDS. But then in July, we moved into a new venue. This was called Ryozan Park Lounge. It's in the Sugamo area of Tokyo, which unfortunately is in kind of the north end. So for me, the commute's gone really, it's gotten a lot longer, and I had to carry a lot more stuff. The place has a great vibe, though. Not great lighting, as a sort of bar type venue. Bar type venues tend to have really poor lighting setups. We've just got a couple of track lights that I can kind of tilt, so they're kind of hitting the speaker. I'm thinking about maybe investing, quote unquote, investing in a couple of LED panels just so we can get some decent lighting on the speaker. The photographs from JDS look so much better. So it's also a much less intense setup for me. It's still a little bit stressful because there's a lot of, since we're doing the live streaming, there's just a lot of equipment that's got to be plugged in. And Daria, who's one of the volunteers, who's amazing, has actually, she's photographed the board and the connections so she can do it from the photographs, but she doesn't actually know what anything's doing, which means if something's wrong or there's a cord missing, that it really does require me to be able to puzzle through what's plugged into what's going there, where's the output, where's the input, that kind of thing. The problem comes from the fact that the bar doesn't have its own mixing board. They have a single speaker that has a mixer. It's a powered speaker and it has a mixer on the back. So that's fine, but that means that I can't do a separate mix out to the live stream, which is kind of necessary. So what we have to do is we have to run through the YTG board that I bought two years ago. No, I bought it in 2021. Anyway, we have to go through our board and then I have to run the headphone output to the live stream so that I can adjust the volume. That I can't do much in terms of mixing, but really don't need to do much in terms of mixing. It's usually just a single speaker and whatever audio we have coming off the presentations or off the slides that I make for the show. But yeah, but it is in some ways a simpler setup. I don't have to get there quite as early and I'm usually done earlier. I do, unfortunately, now have much more equipment to lug down because at JDS, obviously, I could leave a lot of the equipment there. We had equipment on site. So I'm always carrying a heavy laptop, two MacBooks, two mini, really small ones, but it adds up, a bunch of cables. And we've started splitting up the equipment, but even with splitting up the equipment, so somebody takes home the soundboard, somebody else takes home another bag of cables, blah, blah, blah. It's still a lot for me to carry. I usually have a medium-sized suitcase that I pull with me, and it's heavy. Yeah. And so then, yeah, the idea of adding these LED lights. Ugh. I don't want to carry them. And I'm also concerned about sustainability, just in terms of my body. My shoulders definitely got worse in 2024. That's one of the reasons I'm dragging everything around in a suitcase instead of carrying it in my backpack. But I'm also concerned about what happens if one person carrying gear doesn't make it in. You know, if whoever has the soundboard, I think it's usually Andrew, the other Andrew, doesn't make it in, I can't rig the sound for the live stream. Or if someone doesn't show up, if Melvin doesn't show up with the bag of cables, we're going to be in trouble because there's no easy place to buy all the adapter cables I need anywhere nearby. So we can, like, the thing is, we can run the show without my gear, right? We can run the show without my gear, but then there's no live stream and we can't really record. We can't record because we don't have a separate audio input or output. Both to mic the speakers properly. So the speakers will be mic'd for the room, but I have no way of running that out that I can think of. Especially if it happens by surprise. It's one thing, I might be able to plan something with my audio recorder if I know in advance, but yeah. So this actually got tested this year. I was sick in, what was it, November, I think. And the show went up without me. And we didn't have a live stream and we weren't able to record. So that was kind of a bummer. But it did prove that the show could run without me, so that's kind of a relief. Yeah. So Nerd Night used to kind of be the big speaking event that happened in Tokyo. And now we're now kind of like a similar size to the other ones, to our sort of sister events, which is disappointing. Moving into Tokyo did not boost the audiences in the way I thought it was going to, which is for the best because our venue can really only hold about 50 people. We've maxed out once. We hit about 50 people. I don't know where we would go if we got bigger. But anyway, that's what's happening with that. Yeah. I stopped doing ChatGPT generated intros. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but they weren't really ever completely generated. I'd run something through like, hey, give this, I gave the biographical information. I'd say, hey, write an introduction for this person like you're a rootin' tootin' cowboy or something like that. And ChatGPT would write something profoundly unfunny, and then I would make it funny. So they were never completely generated, but I stopped doing that. Of course, on the other hand, I started doing algorithmically generated music in December. And yeah, I'll talk more about that in a bit. Oh, a new volunteer joined this year, Ren. He does part-time emceeing for the event when he's available. And that really lifts some of the burden of the event off my shoulders, because it's really hard to run the live stream, sort of manage all the technology, and have to write and give intros to everyone. I think I'm quite good at it, but actually, you know what? He's quite good at it. He's, I think, a better MC than I am. He takes the job a little more seriously than I do. And yeah, I think it's a good fit. He wasn't there in December. I had to run it myself. I had to do MC myself. But yeah, so it's great. So that happened this year. We got a volunteer MC who's actually good at it. Yeah. And we also, in December, we got a solid donation from one of the speakers from that event. And that was good. That really helped this winter. That's money, of course, that, you know, YTG owes me. Still owes me a lot of money. But that just meant that, yeah, this winter was a little less painful for me, because YTG could actually pay me back some of the money it owes me. And yeah, it wasn't as tight a holiday season as I was concerned it would be. All right, photography updates. This year, as I said, not really any big jobs till the end of the year. Let me just go through this. I had mostly personal projects and small jobs. And the small jobs, some of them are paid, some of them are unpaid. Personal stuff, I did this project called Too Late, which is a photo series on Mastodon, where I took a picture of something that was gone and then wrote what was missing and then hashtag too late. Other personal stuff, I was shooting nature walks and hikes, both ones that I was doing personally with my family and friends, and those led by Japan Forager. That's run by Roger Sono. And yeah, so that was all right. It sort of scratched that itch. Unpaid work, I still continue to do the photography for my son Hammy's after school club. I did an art shoot for an ad hoc performance art event in Harajuku, and I thought I lost a lens at that, but I didn't. Yeah. I did lose a lens this year, but not that one. I'm coming to this. Paid jobs this year, I got around 10,000 yen each for shooting and editing, I don't know, 3 or 4 jobs for the nonprofit SCC, Sharing Caring Culture. Whenever they have funding for an event, I come in, I do the photos, they pay me about 10,000 yen. That has to cover my travel, which is frequently 1,000 to 2,000 yen. So if you're listening to this in Canada, they're paying me about 100 bucks, and it might cost me about 20 bucks to get to site and to and from site. So they're just doing that. This is stuff I do a little bit out of the goodness of my heart. So it's nice that I get paid for it, but it's hard because I put as much work into those things as I do to professional gigs, and I get paid like less than 10% of what I would make on a similar commercial job. I had only one commercial job this year, a corporate photo shoot, a portrait shoot. So this is weird. So this was set up as I was told it was an event shoot, and then it got changed at really like a week before or 2 weeks before to a portrait shoot. They wanted corporate portraits. I had shot an event for them last year, so that's how they knew my photos. And so it was equally mysterious when I came in. So I came in, they didn't want to do a consultation beforehand, and this is going to prove important to the story. They didn't want to do a consultation beforehand. And I went in, had to figure out where to shoot the day of. I had to guess what equipment to bring because I really didn't get any sample photos or any real breakdown of what I was going to be shooting until literally I was on the train the morning of going to the shoot. So I shot some profile photos of their CEO and a bunch of their employees. And then when I returned them, I was told that this wasn't what they wanted. They wanted something completely different. And so I'm still actually working on those photos. That was something I was supposed to be working on this week. I'm still working on those photos because, now I'm having to make photos I shot in my style look like the style of another photographer, which is not easy, as you could imagine. Anyway, but I get paid per hour. So I'm doing that. I build them for the shoot already. And I said up front that if I'm doing any extra editing beyond the sort of most basic photo editing, like just fixing mistakes, that's going to cost them. I mean, it was already, they'd asked me to add backgrounds to all the photos. They wanted me to shoot against a white wall and then add a background later, which again, I didn't find out till I was on site. So yeah, it kind of sucks, but it's great because I get to bill them. So just that one job in 2024, and it's actually still ongoing. I got paid for the first part and I'll probably bill for the second part at the end of this month. Major setback for photography. I lost my favorite lens. I have no idea how I managed that. It got lost in the shuffle this summer. I had obviously the summer interns were helping out with Nerd Night. I had them bring stuff to the new venue in July. The lens was there that night, and I think it was there the next rehearsal. I think it was one of the lenses I had on site, but it somehow got lost. And yeah, it got misplaced and it has never turned up. So that's 50 to 60,000 yen. I'm out on that lens. That's what it would cost to get a new one. Well, not even a new one, a used one, a new one to me. So I'm putting that off for now because I can't afford it. All right. Theater updates. Theater. The big YTG show last year, Oblique, was a huge disappointment. I talked about it in the summer posts. I don't want to rehash it too much. Go back and listen. And I don't want to go into too much detail. I don't want to, if someone ends up listening to this from that show, I doubt they will. But if someone ends up listening to this, I don't want them to feel bad. I really did like everybody I worked with this summer, but this was the second year in a row where I feel like I managed the group wrong. And I'm always trying to recapture the spirit of the show in 2019, which to me felt like a culmination of this sort of collective way of working. And I keep thinking about what's the big difference between 2019 and 2023 and 2024 in terms of the summer show ensemble with all the interns. And the big difference is that as I get more and more interns who actually have real professional experience, which has started happening, they trust me less and less. And again, in a process that's completely open and is non-authoritarian and is supposed to be a flat hierarchy, that's actually a very difficult thing to deal with. I either need to allow them to completely railroad the process, which for me is the most important part, is keeping the process nebulous and having time to explore, taking the time to explore, and not rushing to find the show too soon. I either need to allow them to railroad the process, or I need to find a way to gain and keep their trust. And I don't know necessarily how to do that. That's not a problem I'm going to have this year, which I will explain in the next update, the looking forward update. And another big problem that I didn't have in 2023 is that no one in the group had worked collectively in the way that YTG works collectively. So they had experience working collectively artistically, but they did not have a lot of experience being part of a collective organization in terms of the organizational load being done collectively, the organizational work being collectively. And they think they expected a lot of support from the administration, which is me. I felt like a good deal of it was expected from me, because when you're working in a more, maybe in Europe, I don't know, but if you're working in a more traditional, in a professional environment, in a lot of places, even if the group is collective, even if the artistic group is collective, there are, you know, there's admin support, and they work in a more traditional way, and they, you know, you have a problem, you go to them. You have someone's not showing up, they deal with it. That kind of thing. And yeah, one of the performers said that to me, that she realized that a bit too late. And yeah, so that's something I need to communicate better going forward. I began in 2024, after that summer show, thinking about having ensemble members ante up, so to speak, in a way that covers the operating costs, pays back money that's owed to me by YTG, and, you know, in the future reimburses me for work done in the off season running the company to make sure it's there for everybody in the summer and or spring. Yeah, no shows this year after the summer show was over. I was just too spent. And the main people I collaborate with, Merritt Rosen, Marie Han, were out of the country, and they were the ones last year who pushed to do a show later in the year. December, I got a call from Davian Brown. He's a playwright, professor, artistic director, originally from Australia, but currently based in South Carolina. And he had a proposal to work on his show, Anxiety. I don't know if you remember from last year, he contacted me at the end of 2023 with a similar project, but that one sort of got taken away from us before we got it. So I will talk about more of this show in the year to come update. Podcasting and audio. So one of my goals last year was to finish the Wayward Readers season 2 edit. That's now coming up on 4 years that I'm behind on that project. The rough edits are done. There's still a lot to do for the final edits. I think I might have done half an episode all last year. It's just time consuming. I have to listen to like a 90-minute episode, even if there's no problems with it. And there are never no problems with it. Kate, who edited it, is very capable for someone who had never done it before, but she's not familiar enough to know that there's lots of stuff she can cut that she didn't cut. And also just to fix little like edits, like errors and bleeps and bloops and clonks and people thumping their keyboard and stuff like that. I sort of had to go through and do that. Does it hold up? I have not recorded any more episodes. That was really something I wanted to do last year, but it just didn't happen. We really need to find a co-host who is on it. Our co-host that we did an episode, all our co-hosts we've worked with have been great, but I need someone who's going to actually take some of the writing burden off me, or someone who is just so spontaneously funny that I don't really need to do much prep for the episodes. The third audio project is Yesterday. That project is underway. It's a script written by Keiko Amano based on her memoirs. And yeah, I sent the script to Anna, the sound designer, and we chatted about it, and she was going to come back to me with some ideas. And I have not heard from her actually in a couple months now. So yeah, that's been in a holding pattern since November. I'm going to talk more about that in the year to come episode as well. Okay, music, something I said I wanted to do more of in 2024. That was pretty much a total bust. Yeah, just no time. And my trial of Ableton Live expired while I was working on something. That kind of took the wind out of my sails in March. Got into some algorithmically generated music just at the end of the year. And I kind of enjoy working with that. It does take time to get something. I write the lyrics, obviously, but it does take time to get music resembling something that I like. but I don't know. I'm afraid it's the music equivalent of bad, easy to spot AI art. That and just that my level of musical skill does not let me see that. It's like a sort of Dunning-Kruger thing. So that's why you haven't heard, other than sort of some goofy things I made, that's why you haven't heard so many of those. I might play some. I might do some episodes just around a composition or something like that, because I, as I say, I really want to catch up number-wise to where I should be at this point for these update podcasts. Job hunt updates. I was applying, again, if you're just popping in now, I've been applying for artistic director positions for 2 years now. I applied for, I think, four more in 2024. And this made me realize this, by what I mean is that not getting any response. Only, I think, one company, maybe two, sent me a, you know, thank you, but no thank you. The rest just sort of, as is the way to do things these days, they sent me nothing. But I realized that it's basically impossible, having been absent from the Canadian theater scene for 20 years and having no national profile in Japan, it's impossible for anyone to trust me with that kind of responsibility. And I think if I was in their position, I would feel the same. So I need to either raise my profile or train another skill that will let me get my foot in the door, or at least train another skill that will let me earn money to support my artistic work. So I will be talking about that in the year to come. Sustainability project. So this is the project I talked about right at the beginning, where I said, where did I say that? where I had this idea of asking people who know me to support me with a small weekly payment. So, like I said, it never fully launched. I had the wrong messaging. Two very, very dear friends did support me, and I have been really grateful this year for that. I mean, over the course of the year, those contributions were not insignificant. And mainly, more so than just the financial aspect, which obviously wasn't enough to accomplish my goal, my first goal of being able to dedicate one day a week to art and being able to actually set that day aside and not do anything else on that day, just because I could say I'm being paid for this day. More so than that, they have made me feel at least like the work I was doing had some importance to someone other than me. You know, and I realized that people really love project-based funding, but I've done that and I can do that, but I really want to do operations-based funding. I really want to do support funding. I don't know. I think maybe the answer, and I'll have to talk about this again in the year to come episode, but maybe I need to go hybrid and talk about what projects are coming up. And what is going to be supported. I don't know. So on the whole, I'm going to summarize now. 2024 was extremely challenging, and not in a great way, in a way that sort of wore me down rather than built me up. But yeah, I'm... in some ways, I'm looking forward to the next year. In some ways, I'm not. But that will be the topic of update number 99. This is update number 98, which is just the review. I 2024, I think the best thing other than my family has been, and being able to see my family for like the front half of last year, like my family in Canada, and having their support. I think the best thing about 2024 was just maintaining and growing my existing friendships with people that I've known for a while. And that's what 2024 was about. I actually ended the year up in Niigata, in Iyama, in Maruro Ski Resort. So my good friend and YTG board member, John, has a ski lodge up there that he runs kind of as a community project as opposed to like a straight up business. And we spent just the few days after Christmas, so 28th, 29th, 30th, we left the morning of the 31st. We spent there at the lodge with him and a bunch of other people. I actually spent most of my time helping to prepare meals and cooking, and that made me feel useful and appreciated in a way that I didn't feel useful and appreciated, for example, doing my show this past summer. And it got me thinking about like what a community is. So that was kind of an interesting way to end the year. And there was a kitten. There were a bunch of kittens. So that was nice. Yeah. So anyway, I hope you had a good 2024. And all the years can't be bad now, can they? I mean, like in terms of climate change, I guess they have to be. Because we've screwed that up, haven't we? But yeah, 2024. I don't have anything succinct to sum it up with. Anyway, so tune in next time if you're still listening after 36 minutes. If you're still listening, tune in next time for my upcoming year in anticipation of 2025. Update episode. Okay. That's it for me. Andrew out.